Herstorians. I'm your host, Heather Ashley, and welcome to another episode of Women of Herstory, a podcast dedicated to celebrating women who have made or are making their mark on our society. Today, I have with me Amy McCorkle, award-winning author, screenwriter, director, and producer, whose most notable recent work is her internationally best-selling memoir, Letters to Daniel, that has also been adapted into an award-winning screenplay. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amy.
Hi.
Let's jump right in.
Okay.
In less than a decade, you have published 26 titles, 11 of which have gone to be Amazon bestsellers, which, like, congratulations, that's amazing. And one of which, Letters to Daniel, your memoir based on your life with bipolar disorder, went on to be an international bestseller, which is also amazing. Before we launch into discussing Letters to Daniel, I'd love to hear more about how you got into writing in the first place.
Well, it's a lifelong thing because I've always loved stories. I've always loved storytelling. And my dad would, well, my stepdad would always tell us bedtime stories. And I love TV and I love movies and music. And when I was 5 years old, I was introduced to something called the Success Program. And there was like different notebooks for each subject. And one of the subjects was composition.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get a prompt and you'd write a story off that prompt. Mm. And so I've been writing ever since then.
Are you someone who plots it out before you start writing, or you?
No, I'm about the journey.
Yeah.
I want to discover it. Okay. So it's like, if the story is really cooking, the world falls away, I hear nothing, I forget that I need to get something to drink, I really need people to remind me to take care of myself. But it's happening to me, like, mm-hmm. I'm telling the story. It's more like I'm channeling it than writing it.
Yeah.
When it's going good.
That must be the best feeling.
Yeah.
So what does Letters to Daniel mean to you?
Well, it's about my life. So so it's very personal. So Letters to Daniel is about how 21 years ago, this month actually, is the anniversary of my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And through open letters to my favorite actor, Daniel Craig, I tell how I had the breakdown, how I was diagnosed, and it's actually my memoirs, open memoirs, mm-hmm. like through open letters. And it's not about Daniel Craig. It's not about his work. It's not about his life. I want to reiterate that. It is not like a fan letter book. It's basically using him as my like silent audience. And and since I don't know him and he doesn't know me, I'm not related to him. And he's not my friend. So it's like, he's not going to judge me.
Mm.
He's not going to get mad at me and say, why did you spill the family dirt? and you know, stuff like that. You don't have to worry about that I can just project what I need him to be, like, right, whatever. Mm. He's like this sympathetic ear, and I can tell him all my life experiences and how I'm healing or not healing, or if I'm mad or sad, whatever.
Mm.
And that book came out in 2016. Mm. But the blog was a blog first, and that was in 2013.
Mm. Wow, that's such an original idea, and I love that. I think something that helps really anyone is writing things down, and sometimes you need to write them to somebody who you know, who you don't know. You know, that makes absolutely perfect sense. Did did penning this memoir help you to articulate what living with bipolar disorder is like?
You know, I've always been able to articulate it. Mm-hmm. And like, right, I can tell you, like, right, it felt like my skin was crawling, like, at the mm-hmm. worst time. I mean, I could get, you know, because I'm a writer, language was there. Mm-hmm. But at first, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And that, and I was first diagnosed in 1999. Mm-hmm. I was in hell. And I just needed someone. I was like, help me. Yeah. I don't care who you are. I don't care what. I need help. And I can't write. I couldn't do anything. I was totally incapacitated. Mm. And by writing the memoirs, it taught me to see what my cycles were with the illness, because the nature of the disease is that it is relapse. Mm-hmm. But I've been relatively stable since 2014.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. So,
but I've been in recovery, 1999. Mm. I just wasn't as, it took me about 10 years to get stable. Mm. And getting stable is one thing, staying stable is another. Mm. So, and both are hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What are some misconceptions people have about bipolar disorder, and what's something you would like to say to people who think they understand the disease?
Is such a loaded question. Okay, so stigma is really hard, and that's what the preconception is. And stigma is everywhere. And I experienced it just yesterday, and I wanted to slap the taste out of the lady's mouth. but I didn't, because it was a professional setting. Mm. I was at Faith in Film, part of FilmCom. And I went there because I do have sort of a faith-based project. And also I mentioned my Recovery Unplugged podcast. And then she goes, well, that people will never open up. I've had over 40, I've had something like 50 or 60 guests. People will open up, right? People will open up. It just depends on how you approach them, if you treat them. And then she was like, well, that, you know, it's so neat. And, you know, I really hesitate when I hear psychiatry's involved, because they, because it's only science, and science isn't the answer. God is. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I thought I should slap the taste out of your mouth. So look, I believe in meditation and prayer. I am a Christian, but you know, it takes more than Jesus to treat some of these things.
Yes. Absolutely. 100,000%. Prayer, meditation, yoga, whatever you need to do, but also
that's part of it. It's like
exactly.
A tool. It's not the tool. There's no panacea. And what did you ask? The blog was like the last, when I started writing the blog, the memoirs, and that was like the final piece of the puzzle, because I could finally see I don't want to say happy, because happy is a normal, healthy emotion. Mm-hmm. I could see when I was manic. I could see when depression was around. Mm-hmm. And sadness is a normal, healthy emotion. Mm-hmm. Anger is a normal, healthy emotion. What bipolar people experience outside of these in extremes is a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't pray. It's that whole pray it away stuff. It's just like, it blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, okay, if we want to bring God and faith into it, God gave these scientists the ability to create these things and use them for the betterment of society, which is the entire basis or supposed doctrine of Christianity, is to bring about the betterment of society and the healthy and happiness of the flock.
Now, I will say, everybody's recovery journey is their own. I happen to know someone who was incredibly drug, like pharmaceutical resistant. Her body did not respond to it, but they are doing experimental treatments with stuff like psychedelic drugs, like in limited quantities.
Interesting.
And they gave her mushrooms and and it's monitored like a medication.
Yeah.
And her life has turned back around and she feels like living again. And
oh my gosh, that's incredible. Like, so, that is so cool. I think that is just so incredible. And absolutely, you're right. Everyone's recovery process is different.
Right. And another person, you know, and even though she calls herself cured, I'm not cured. I take it as like I'm in recovery, like one day at a time. But one person called herself cured, but she doesn't say that that works for everybody. She has something that worked for her. Mm-hmm. And on her recover ED page, she highlights everybody, like all kinds of recovery journeys. Like,
I love that.
So you can learn from each other. She's created a community.
That's amazing. You know, being able to also to look at just other people going through what you're going through and the different things that worked for them and learning that it wasn't just a one try, look, we figured it out and fixed it. Like every, you know, finding a community that can say, well, I tried these things. It didn't work. This worked for me. But here's all the other stuff that I've tried. Here's other things other people have tried. That's incredible. And I love that there's a community out there that is supportive like that in the recovery process for this type of disorder. I think something that has personally, I feel like I've come across people who think that multiple personality disorder and bipolar disorder are the same thing.
They're so different. You can experience depersonalization or disassociation with bipolar, but the actual mental health issue that has to be treated differently. And you can have co-occurring disorders and there might be some overlapping symptoms, but they are still two totally different things.
Totally different. And I hope people are able to start to, you know, as science progresses and as we are able to connect with more and more people, that we're able to share what all of these disorders actually are, what's happening with them, who the person is, like, because no one is their disorder, their disease.
Right. It's like it's not, well, someone maybe goes, well, you're not your illness. Well, duh, I'm not my illness. That was a hard lesson to learn when I was in therapy, when you would say, hi, I'm Amy and I'm bipolar. Mm. No, hi, I'm Amy and I have bipolar disorder. It's a part of me. It will always be a part of me. I will die with it, but the important thing is not to die from it. And you know it's bad when you're in that depression, when you're in bipolar depression, it's just incredibly in any depression,
right?
In any, right? So
yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, you know what? Let's why don't we talk about some of your work? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it. So, seeming as though you are never quite satisfied with the amount of writing that you're doing, you have 33 successful scripts that you've written.
It's 36 now.
It's 36 now? Girl. Yes. You're crazy. That's just wild. That's so much. That's amazing. You know, what is it? You know, the Hamilton, the musical, you always write you're running out of
Hamilton.
Time.
Yeah. Well, every time we listen to it, she points at me. She goes, that's you.
Well, it is, because now it's 36. That's crazy. I wrote this script like I think a couple weeks ago, not even, and you're already writing more. That's amazing. But included in these is the screenplay adaptation of Letters to Daniel.
Yes.
And a song featured in the film is being or has been submitted for an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Song.
Yes.
What would that sort of nomination mean to you and your team?
Oh my God. Just the fact that Warner Music Brazil submitted a $6,000 film for an Academy Award is a big feather in my cap.
Yeah.
But because so at first, The Lock was Billie Eilish for No Time to Die.
Yeah.
You know, that was the James Bond movie. Everybody was saying she's set to make history as the youngest ever. And, you know, Oscar likes Bond music. So at least as original songs go. And then, and even whenever I don't believe they should be the best song, like when Sam Smith won, it should have been Until It Happens to You by Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. That was she performed it live on that stage, and me and Missy were crying at the end of it and had chills. But not that Sam Smith's song for Spectre wasn't beautiful, but it just, you know, when Here With Me has that same kind of effect, because the young lady who wrote it had just come out of a mental hospital stay for depression. And it was because a few years ago, her brother was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh.
And now he ended up going into remission, and they celebrate every year that he's in good health. Mm. But she wrote that song specifically for the movie, but it was out of her, you know, her own as all art is, it was personal.
Mm.
But it was like the perfect marriage of movie and song.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I watch the movie, now, usually I cry at the end because of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know how it ends. I lived it, you know? It's like big surprise. I directed the movie. I shot every scene. Yeah. I know what happened. Actually, if that song, it's like everybody's going on it, like, I said, Ricardo, that was her father. He's a composer. And I said, if that song gets nominated, I'm going to the Oscars with y'all.
Aww.
We'll find a way. He goes, we'll all go.
That would be amazing.
So it would be a big deal. You know, we've had some success with it. In fact, I'm taking a break. I'm at FilmCom. Mm-hmm. Right now, and everything's online, and you know, I'm wanting to network with some of these executives, but they don't have any of the breakout rooms set up.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, that sucks. but it is the thing about FilmCom, it is a market, and three or four people look at my pitch. So I'm hoping that they will look at the movie. And we have some distribution. It's screened in one theater in Vegas. It's going to screen in a theater in Louisville, Kentucky, and it'll screen in a theater in Cleveland. It's coming to Amazon Prime Direct. I'm just getting everything set up.
Yeah.
The Real Women's Network. It's available there now. That's REEL womensnetwork.com.
Amazing.
And also, it's coming to Parables TV.
Cool.
So, I'm looking, and it had a very limited DVD run. We're talking 40 total. So, you know, because this was And it's available on the small press site for sale, eruditepress.com, if you want to get a copy of the movie.
Cool.
It's limited edition. I'm looking for broader, like for someone else to pick up and take it the rest of the way.
Mm.
I know that would help with the Oscar stuff. It recently at a film festival was officially selected as for adapted film, like if it's a source material. Anyway, what was the question?
No, we touched it. You answered it. It was about what it would mean for you guys. The nomination means, and submission. It means
a lot, because I don't know if a filmmaker tells you that they didn't watch the Oscars and then one day dream of holding that freaking thing and saying either
they're lying.
Yeah, either saying screw all you who didn't believe in me or thank you to everybody. They're lying through their teeth.
I've accepted many a fake Tony Award nomination in my shower. So.
Oh, are you? Where are you located? New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love it. But yeah, no, I know that feeling. You know, I can see it. I've got the speech ready. I've got it ready.
You know what the cool thing is? Is that through AOF, I received the Founders Award, and that was. I've got this gorgeous graphic art certificate that, you know, it says Founders Award and right, it's from the AOF. But what it was a film festival based on helping others like me.
Oh, I love that.
It's the real award. So if you know of anyone who struggles with mental illness and they've got art, a book, a script, a film, a music video, or songs, just go to Film Freeway and look for Conquering Disabilities with Film International Film Festival. And we are accepting submissions for next summer.
That's amazing. I think that is an incredible project. That is so, so important to say, like, your art counts, your voice counts. Like, and I feel like so many times you're told that if you struggle with a mental disability that there's something inherently wrong with you and your art and your voice, and that's just not true. And I think providing a safe space for these artists to share is so important and beautiful, and I love that you're doing that.
Well, it's so I announced the winners from this season, but the thing is the physical awards get presented at next year. It's a hybrid festival of AOF.
Mm-hmm.
It's like AOF 2020/2021.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a separate award ceremony for all the 2020 nominees and winners.
Mm. Oh, I love that. That's great. Cause they, you know, people got gypped this year.
That's what he goes, do you want to postpone and do a hybrid or do you want to go online? And we, there's like 15 festival directors in one under the same umbrella. And Del Weston and Teresa Weston are just wonderful people.
Mm.
And they run AOF. And so every one of us are not only festival directors, as the case is in independent film festivals, you're filmmakers.
Mm.
So you know what that, like, right? So I've won, like recently, Letters to Daniel won Best Feature Film at Eden Studio International Film Festival. So the cool part was it was on Zoom. So I got to give an acceptance speech.
Mm-hmm.
But Missy wasn't here, and that's my partner in crime, and you don't have a trophy, so yeah. I had to pay shipping to get my trophy, but that's not bad, because, you know, sometimes that happens in festivals, even when you're there for real.
Yeah.
So, but still, my movie buffered every 30 to 60 seconds at this film festival. Now I was like, that was the only bad thing.
Yeah. You know, that's frustrating, but I, you know, there's something about being in a space where people are there to watch you accept this award and give a speech, and you're like, everybody is so happy for me. You know, it just feels so good to be it, have that energy physically around you. And that's what makes it tough right now when that's not, you know.
I'm going to tell you about AOF and everybody who listens here.
Yeah.
AOF also accepts plays.
Wow.
And they have like film criticism. You can submit that, like wow. A film review, unboxing videos. They really, I take it. They accept a lot of different stuff. But if you are an actress, or you got a film that you were in, and they accept just about every express. They are all about supporting creators, supporting their work, and honoring them. And then there's often opportunities there. Now they don't spoon feed you the opportunities. You have to walk up to these people and say, "Hi, I'm so and so, and this is my movie, or this is whatever." Mm-hmm. But it's a great place to network. It feels like family, and I would recommend submitting something. They also have a festival connected to them called the New Cinema Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
And they accept both audio podcasts and video podcasts.
Oh.
So I would submit her story.
Yeah, I'm writing that down right now.
And if you have a hard time finding the link on Film Freeway for that one, Action on Film Fest has a link to all their festivals that are umbrellaed underneath them.
That's awesome. Thank you for that information. That's so cool. And I'm so excited to be able to share this with our audience, because I know that we have a lot of creatives that listen. And
there's something else he does for filmmakers, not because he thinks women are less than, but he wants to create as many opportunities to honor work as possible. Mm. He does Best Director male feature, Best Director female feature, and then he does the short films the same way.
Oh, I really appreciate that sort of sentiment too, to just be like, we can, you know, clearly someone who provides opportunities like this isn't someone who's saying we have to like equal but separate. No, it's providing opportunities to honor the best of what we're looking at from each category, because everyone has wildly different visions and voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so cool.
I've gotten runner up documentary from AOF. And then at Low to No, I got my first straight out win with Something to Believe In for Best Director Doc. And then Letters to Daniel, I won a directing award from the U.S. U.S. International Hollywood Golden Film Award. And the trophy is like this big crystal heavy thing. And they give you a certificate that's embossed. And this really cool. I'm like, and also my editor won. So I was like, I love that festival.
Yeah. You're like, I got all my shiny stuff here. Let me get all my hardware. Like, that's so fun.
I've been fortunate enough I won for Best True Story at Newsfest, but that wasn't the one that I was really proud of at that festival. I won a Community Builders Award for Outstanding Contribution to Your Community, and I was given the Outstanding Leadership in the Mental Health Support Community Award. So I was honored in the same category as someone who's like a big top, like multiple Emmy winner and stuff like that. So it felt really good.
I'm sure. And especially with the story, like specifically with Letters to Daniel, and it's something that is obviously close to you because it is you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, having yourself being recognized outside of a specific creation, more of what you're doing with your creations, you know, where it's like, yeah, I can do good stuff, but also look at what I'm trying to do with it.
Yeah.
And you recognize for that, you're like, oh good, someone's getting it. It's coming across like I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, that feels so
please check out AOF. I think it
Yeah. It sounds like a really incredible festival and just a great, safe, productive, good place.
It's right. I love that place. I've been going since 2016. It's like between them, Indie Gathering, and a little bit of Imaginarium, I managed to get letters that Daniel made and all this
and
stuff.
And the rest is history. Or the rest is her story. There we go. So do you have a support system around you that you can turn to when you're experiencing particularly difficult times?
Yes, I have a caregiver. You heard me mention Missy way back in that stuff. I had my mom and dad I live with, so they take care of my physical needs. And dad sometimes wrestles with the fact I have limitations, like, mm-hmm. right? And they don't understand that, or he doesn't understand. Like, he's a soft touch. He's very mm-hmm. loving. He's very supportive. But sometimes there's a disconnect between how smart I am. And I'm not talking about, I'm not a genius, but I'm smart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a disconnect between intellectually how smart I am and then the limitations which the illness mm-hmm. placed on me. Like, I've gone a long way considering, like, mm-hmm. really high functioning, mm-hmm. but I still have those limitations at times.
Right. Which is probably, you know, I personally don't know that experience, but I can only imagine it can be frustrating when you're like trying to explain to someone, or even, you know, not even explain, just be like, just having someone have the understanding of, I am an intelligent person, but I have these limitations. There are things that I just cannot do right now or at this time, or maybe in this future, but right now this is not a thing. And for I'm sure that's, you know, tough for other people to understand completely, you know, because unless yeah. you're fully experiencing it yourself, you really never know what someone else is going through, especially with something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you have, you know,
oh yeah,
your
my
family
mom, and
around
I, my
you.
Mom and I, and then of course my doctor and my therapist and mm-hmm. and then like my friend Pam, like I have people in place. It's a small support group. It's a tight support group, support network, but I know they're there. And of course I always live in fear of something happening to them.
Oh no, we can't have those fears. We can't let ourselves live in that headspace. Oh my goodness. So you've mentioned that you've done that you directed Letters to Daniel. You've directed many a movie, but what is it about directing that you are drawn to? What do you like about it?
I'm a control freak. I think that's true of any director. Yeah. But initially I was drawn to direct because I knew screenwriters have like zero power in Hollywood. Like in the theater, they're kind of honored, right? Look at Lin-Manuel, you know, in order to work, you kind of have to create your own work. And that's just the nature of the beast. Well, if you're going to make a mark, you've got to have something. And my writing partner, she got, and producer, she only produces because she doesn't want to direct. And she said, after that, I asked her in an interview for a documentary I won my directing award for. I said, are you looking forward to the making of it? You go, you mean the film? I said, yeah. She said, no.
She likes the after part and the before part.
She likes the writing part. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Amy, you are awful to me on
Oh, no.
And I didn't even know, right? Because I'm like trying to contain myself and not lose my, lose my shit with everybody.
Yeah.
So be able to collaborate. So she knows the real me. Mm. And, but she, you know, God bless her. She lived through it.
that's a good friend. Yeah. The ones that are like, well, when you're under high stress, you're not the nicest, but I'll still stick around because I like you.
Well, and it was borderline. She almost took off. Like it was the last day of filming and I said something to her and she got mad. And I said, if she leaves this set, you're screwed, Amy. So at least even though I was hypomanic, I was sane enough to know to keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To make sure she stays.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have those moments too. I think we all do where we're like, man, I've got a laundry list of things that I would just love to say to you right now, but I'm not going to say it because, you know, I probably shouldn't. Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, before we get to our last two questions, is there anything else that you would like to add? Where we can follow you and your projects, social media, websites, or anything that we didn't touch on?
Okay. The official Letters to Daniel website is letterstodaniel.com. Mm-hmm. Also on Facebook, you will find me on Amy Unplugged, The Making of Letters. Then there's The Making of Letters to Daniel. Then there's Letters to Daniel. Then there's my profile page, Amy Lee McCorkle. On Twitter, I'm at Amy L. McCorkle. And I have a blog. It's g1nbc.net/healing-hands. And I'm also on Instagram, Letters to Daniel.
Oh, perfect. So Instagram, Letters to Daniel. Wow, you're all over the internet. That's great. And we'll make sure that we have all of this in the show notes or like on our posts so that people can find it all very easily. So I ask the same last two questions to everyone that comes through the podcast. First, what is your second favorite color?
Probably black.
Black. Why black?
So, okay, University of Kentucky colors are blue and white. And I just didn't want to say white as my favorite color because it is not. Like when I was 5 years old in kindergarten, it was Valentine's Day and we were coloring the hearts. Everybody's coloring their hearts red, right? I color my heart black. My teacher was deeply, deeply disturbed, but it was just because I like the color black.
I feel you. I love black. I love that dark stuff. That's my jam. So I feel you. I have fake black roses in my room. So no judgment here. And last, what, in your opinion, is the best part of being a woman?
You know, I just don't think of it in those terms because I'm from Kentucky and everybody is girl. Mm. From, you know, like your aunt, you know, girl, and there's girl, you know, this girl, like the, you know, or I'll say our girls when I'm referring to characters. I say, you know, a lot of people are trying to say Bond woman now. I'm like, just for, you know, there's things that you want to fight over. Mm. And that's not one of them. I think your energy can be used elsewhere to get, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a badass. I really believe when I'm a director and I'm out there, I just act like the fact, like you act like the best way to break the ceiling is to act like it's not there.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your answer is more the best part of being me is being fearless, you know, fearless and not caring. Fearless and saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. I can only be me. I've tried other ways and it doesn't work.
You know, and that is an absolutely completely fair and accurate assessment, answer, whatever, because that's a great answer. And that's absolutely what the best part of being a woman as you, right?
It's right.
You in this body that you've been given, and you are like, well, this is how I'm going to live it. So you can all take it or leave it. You know, and that's great, because I love that. I strive for that type of confidence. I love what you said, where the best way to break the ceiling is to act like it's not there. That's amazing. That's so good. I don't think I've actually heard that before. So
well, I'm stealing it from somebody. I just don't remember who.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to write it all over my walls now. Like, oh my goodness. Wow. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with us today, Amy. I mean, you've given me a lot to think about, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear all about you and your journey and letters to Daniel. So thank you again for taking the time to sit down with us. And thank you, Herstorians, for tuning in again. Tell your friends, subscribe, follow us on the social media for some extra inspiration on Twitter at the Herstory Pod, Instagram at Women of Herstory Podcast, and visit our website at ofherstory.com. And until next week, be safe, stay healthy, and show the world what you're made of.